Good evening and thanks for joining us on The Week in Review. I'm Nick Blumberg. Wildfire smoke blankets the Chicago area.
This is about as bad as it gets. There are various scales as you go through air quality alerts. This has blown through the highest level, which is hazardous.
Dangerously poor air quality sparks warnings to stay inside if possible and avoid strenuous outdoor activity.
It's microscopic and it is thrives in warm, wet weather.
Hundreds of cases of the severe stomach infection cyclosporiasis reported in Illinois, with the number expected to rise.
Who has the sole and the larger responsibility to fund our schools? You know who that is, right? It's the state of Illinois.
CPS announces furlough days, a spending freeze, and more as it tries to close a massive budget gap. But Mayor Brandon Johnson and the Chicago Teachers Union give the district's proposed spending plan a failing grade. Meantime, a plan to sell Chicago's parking meters hits a speed bump, as do efforts to sell debt owed to the city in an effort to generate much-needed revenue. The mayor's plan to hold federal immigration agents to account faces council scrutiny, and Chicago Police Superintendent Larry Snelling leaves his post.
Good morning.
And now to our Week in Review panel. Joining us are Jeff Buchholz of WBBM News Radio, Shruti Singh of Bloomberg News, Rima Amin of Chalkbeat Chicago, and Quinn Myers of Block Club Chicago. Good to see you all. Thank you for being
Thanks
here.
For having us.
So lots to get to this week. Jeff, the smoke is trying to kill us.
It's crazy, right? It's ridiculous. We just moved to an apartment in the South Loop, and I'm thinking, oh, this is great. We get terrific views of the city. Couldn't see a darn thing.
Up in the air, just the skyline completely gone.
And I feel like this is something that is happening increasingly in the summers. Now, this is what, like the third summer in a row? I think we've had wildfire smoke from Canada and some from Minnesota as well. I mean, you feel awful for the people who are actually at ground zero. Yeah. And I know that in to the east, it's even worse than it has been here. It's just, you feel like you want to cut a hole in the air just to be able to walk outside.
Yeah, I had to dig out some masks from old coats and desk drawers from the pandemic, because walking around this morning was awful. And you see people who are masked up and then people who seemingly are unbothered and smoking cigarettes. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? Do you know what's happening right now?
I saw people jogging.
I saw joggers too.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
The people smoking cigarettes, we're basically doing the equivalent, I guess, just being outdoors.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's, you know, the air quality, you know, the alert was supposed to run out tonight. It was extended through tomorrow night. You know, the thing that I think about is just all the kids on summer break. I mean, the beaches are closed, all the park district day camps went inside. I mean, is this just the new norm now for summer break?
Yeah, I mean, I was just telling my boss yesterday I don't remember this ever being an issue when I was a kid or even in the last few years. I was going to go to Millennium Park concert last night and that was canceled. So I think it probably sucks to be a kid and trying to hang out outside and you just can't.
Yeah, it is. It's not ideal conditions. And speaking of other things that are trying to kill us, the lettuce. What are we doing here?
Yeah, I mean, I think Taylor Farms is now thinking about the recall. I mean, it's been linked to some Taco Bells and across the Midwest. But it seems like there are also other sources of this parasite, basically, that is causing. I don't know if I can say this on air.
Cyclosporiasis.
Cyclosporiasis. There you go. It is not good. It does seem treatable, of course, but it's not something you want. We're getting attacked at all angles here.
And Taylor Farms, remember, was the company, the supplier of the onions that caused the big McDonald's health scare, a couple years ago now?
Yeah, within the last few.
So, I mean, there's a lot of questions about health procedures and making how that stuff is cleaned and washed before it is sent to people, which is, it's kind of hard to get our hands around because the government ended mandatory reporting of a lot of these sorts of outbreaks last year.
Yeah. Well, and it's tough too, just because based on the sort of like industrial agriculture business, the way things are, we don't necessarily know where all these, you know, things are going.
Right.
It can kind of go all over the place. All right, well, we will keep our eye on this, but we can move away from the plague portion of the program. Shruti, the parking meter saga continues into another week. Powerful alderman is calling for a buyback. The deadline is on the move. Fill us in on the latest. There's a lot to get to.
Yeah, for sure. This is something that dates back to 2008 when then Mayor Daley had actually decided to lease the 36,000 parking meters around the city for 75 years to an investment group. Now, fast forward more than almost, you know, two decades, and now that particular asset is set to change hands from a Morgan Stanley-led investment group to another firm. the city council doesn't necessarily have a role to play in the negotiations of two private entities deciding to buy and sell an asset, but they want to have a say. And so there are some aldermen that are saying, you know, buy the whole thing. Another one is saying, take a stake in it. And Mayor Johnson's administration had previously put forth a bid and then pulled it back. So right now we're trying to see, you know, what the negotiations are going to be. There was a vote that was delayed in Finance Committee on Monday. I have not seen yet what date that delay is going to be until, but there's a lot of questions about if and what say aldermen will have in this particular transfer, because really they're voting on an ordinance that's been put in front of them to vote on the transfer of the asset, not the actual contract details.
Yeah. And every different camp has their own issue with this, some over, you know, the financial issues, some over ICE flights. Stone Peak, they own a company that manages deportation flights, and that has become a huge issue for some of the more progressive city council members and a lot of activists who are calling on city council to reject the deal in that lens too. So it's hard for me to imagine a path forward immediately where this passes city council.
So one of the things is that, as you mentioned, there's multiple factors that people have in their mind in terms of how they're going to vote or not vote on this. But what it really, you know, one is that they can vote on something about like the tax liability for the city, or they can vote on reputation. So some of them are latching on to some of those. But at the core of it, it sort of comes back to this issue of this like long simmering, you know, difficulty that Chicagoans have with this deal that goes back to the, you know, the financial crisis. And given where the city's finances are currently, this tug for revenue is constantly there in the back of everyone's minds. But clearly the social and, you know, other issues that are at play are, you know, certainly many of the aldermen asked about those questions during the subject matter hearing.
Well, and you have to imagine as well that, you know, even if this is just sort of a procedural thing that alder people are signing off on, well, we've got the municipal election coming up in February, and they don't want their opponents tagging them with saying, you approved this parking meter deal.
Exactly. And part of the complication here is that alders have been asking the mayor specifically if he believes they should approve the deal. They're looking for political cover. And the mayor, so far, has stayed away from that completely. And we have asked repeatedly about this, and he has consistently said that is city council's job under the terms of the deal. That is their responsibility to vote. Our job is to give them as much information as possible. So he is not helping them out at all.
He hasn't used that logic for other pieces of legislation.
That's correct.
Interesting. Yeah, you know, you apply these things where they work for you sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's interesting, you know, we heard Alderman Jason Irvin, who's the head of the very important budget committee, you know, come out and say, you know, I think we should make a bid for these. What have we been hearing, you know, what have you been hearing from the rest of the council?
So I think a lot of it is wrapped up in whether or not the council intends to move forward with a yes vote on the sale. I do think there's some willingness to do that, but obviously, you know, the city got some pretty sobering budget news this week, which we'll, I'm sure, talk about in a second. So I think that that kind of weighs in the balance there as well. And I think a lot of aldermen, particularly some of the Budget Accountability Coalition, your more moderate aldermen, are still feeling a little bit burned by what they consider to be a lack of transparency by the Johnson administration about its own attempt to buy back the meters kind of at the end of last year, beginning of this year. But the fact that one of the mayor's strongest allies in city council, in Alderman Irvin, is saying, hey, maybe we ought to take another swing at this, may get some people to kick the tires on it.
Yeah, one of the things that I heard from a lot of aldermen was the question of transparency. You know, along with the questions about the assets that Stone Peak owns, there was a lot of questions about, you know, why weren't we told about these, you know, things early on when the bid was going on. And so one of the reasons that some council members had said they weren't going to support this was that transparency issue. And then in the end, you know, before the vote, there was a lot of people saying, like, I don't even know if there's a, like 10 votes, you know? And so then it got delayed because it was unclear what the path forward was for the mayor.
You don't run an ordinance if you don't have the votes.
Right.
All right, another big budget story this week, Rima. Chicago Public Schools out with its proposed spending plan. They have a huge deficit that they need to account for, but the measures that they're putting forward to try and deal with that, the mayor and the CTU say not so fast. What are they concerned about?
Yeah, so this budget is actually more severe than the, that's the term I would use, than last year, which was, that was a big fight between the mayor's office and CPS. And this year, in order to close its budget, the district is proposing 5 furlough days for all district staff. And when you hear the word furlough, especially if you represent a union, that is going to directly affect your workers, and it is not something you want to hear. The other thing that, a major cut here as part of this budget is to cut off spending after January, which is referred to as mid-year cuts. And so the district has said, hey, you know, if we do get more money from the state or TIF dollars, surplus dollars from the city, we could possibly avoid these things. And so it's really, we're going to have to wait and see how it plays out. But I do think, unlike last year, where the district was in some ways able to shield actual classrooms and schools from major cuts, it does feel like this upcoming school year, schools are certainly going to start feeling the pressure of this budget more.
Yeah, and I mean, the teachers union has been calling for additional funding from Springfield for quite some time.
Yeah.
Didn't go anywhere in this last legislative session, though, because they said, we understand we have this evidence-based formula, but there are other districts with other needs. Does it really seem like there's any movement on that necessarily?
I mean, during this session, I feel like the closest they got was this millionaire's tax proposal to put a constitutional amendment on the upcoming ballot in the fall. That, of course, didn't go through. And so it's hard to imagine at this point that state lawmakers will actually vote to send more money. And if they do, would that money actually get to CPS's coffers in time for it to do something about this upcoming
right.
school year? Seems unlikely. So I do think all eyes are going to be looking at the city again.
And the city's budget director, Annette Guzman, told Alderman on Thursday that the city is not going to have the record TIF surplus that it had last year. So the amount of money available for Chicago Public Schools is going to be lower. And in this budget, CPS is expecting $200 million of TIF surplus money.
Yeah.
So that may also be a really optimistic projection.
Yeah, the pinch is definitely being felt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Rima, even before this budget proposal came out, the district laid off more than 160 people. Who was affected by that?
Yeah, so the district laid off 162 central office and citywide employees. These are people who obviously work at the district central office, but also citywide employees are deployed to individual schools. You know, they're sort of considered a type of support staff. So 162 of those folks were laid off. And then additionally, on the school level, there were another round. Around this year, CPS always does layoffs of teachers and support staff. Many of those folks are going to be rehired into vacant positions, the district says, but overall, the district is proposing cutting another 160 school-based employees.
Tough year for the district. All right, looking at the city budget, Shruthi, there is a key component of the most recent spending plan that was passed sort of in defiance of the mayor that involved selling overdue debt to the city, but that effort has hit a snag. What's happening there?
So during the budget process late last year, that the city council actually crafted an alternate budget that was passed, but the mayor didn't actually end up signing it because he had issues with certain parts of it. One of the pieces that he really had an issue with was the selling of debt that's owed to the city. Fines, fees, tickets, things like that. One of the pieces that the alderman had pulled out from the billions that are owed to the city was vehicular fines and debt, and that's things like parking tickets and things like that. So what they wanted to do, and it's in the budget ordinance, and so the mayor has had to, you know, even though he's opposed it, the administration has had to move forward with it, is that they want to sell $1 billion worth of debt. And that means that there is a certain amount of debt that they sell to an investor, and that investor group or whoever that collector is going to go out and pull in that money from whoever owes it to the city. From that, the city would get maybe $89 million or so for this budget. There was a what they call a request for proposals that was put forth so that they could bring in some firm who was going to manage this process. They had selected Bank of America, and then just more recently, Bank of America and the city decided they were not going to move forward with Bank of America's role as what they call a placement agent. So Bank of America was not going to go out and do the collections. They were going to be the placement agent to find somebody to maybe take on this debt. That relationship has ended, and now the city is looking for alternate solutions. We don't know what those are yet.
And Jeff, you know, we're hearing from the mayor's team that layoffs could be on the table because of a budget shortfall. Real possibility, political gamesmanship, a bit of both?
A bit of both, yeah. Actually, Nick. That information, that number, came out of Thursday's marathon hearing of the council's Budget and Government Operations Committee, during which Annette Guzman, the budget director, and others, including Michael Belsky, the comptroller, and Stephen Marr, the acting chief financial officer, laid out sort of a series of graphics explaining, well, some of our revenue initiatives are overperforming, and a number of them have generated $0. And wouldn't you know, they all had one thing in common. They were all the ones proposed by aldermen instead of the corporate head tax.
Hmm.
So, and that includes the selling of parking ticket debt. It includes augmented reality advertising. It includes selling ads on bridge towers and vehicles and that sort of thing. The aldermen who are part of the Budget Accountability Coalition have loudly accused the mayor's team, and did again on Thursday, of slow walking their proposals because the mayor didn't like them. Guzman forcefully pushed back on that and said, we're also frustrated because she said, we tried to warn city council that these were unproven revenue ideas, and we're doing our best. Okay. But then all of a sudden we find out that the city is in fact facing a $90 million shortfall if things continue, and if something isn't done by the end of next month, the city could face as many as 2,000 layoffs, including 1,000 at the police department. And there's no more sacred cow in the budget than the Chicago Police Department. Whether they'll actually get to that many, it's hard to say. There are alternatives that they can use. They can appropriate money out of a surplus fund, which is available theoretically. They can make some other changes. They can hope that other stuff comes in over projection, which a couple things are, like the sports gambling tax is actually doing pretty well. But it clearly, heading into a election cycle, they're facing some real serious debates and challenges. Yes, indeed.
We're not even talking about next year's budget.
Right. Exactly. We're still arguing over, this is now, we're more than a year into arguing about the budget that we're halfway through already.
Yeah, so it was a $1.2 billion deficit that they had to close for this year. And so it was a very difficult time, I think, last year. And I mean, it was difficult the year before
that,
too.
Right.
But, you know, they were trying to collectively make some really tough decisions at the end of last year. So they figured out some ways to close that $1.2 billion deficit. But even after those measures were taken, we're still now hearing that at the midpoint of the year, that by the end of the year, there's still going to be this gap left.
And of course, we are heading soon into the budget season for next year.
Yeah.
So we will be watching this all happen, you know, multiple fights happening layered on top of one another.
Well, and indeed, with another overlay of a complete lack of trust at this point between factions of city council and the mayor's office, and different factions of city council not trusting each other.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's going to be entertaining for us. We'll see if they actually get anything done.
Yeah. Some more city council action. Quinn, there was a committee looking at the mayor's somewhat controversial order aimed at curbing immigration agents in the city. The city is also asking for anyone who thinks they were victimized by agents during Midway Blitz to step forward.
They are now.
A lot of move. Yeah. So fill us in.
5 months ago, the mayor signed this executive order basically ordering the police department to investigate complaints against immigration enforcement officers like ICE and Border Patrol. Obviously, we'd seen a lot of high-profile incidents, everything from people being tackled to the ground to being killed by ICE agents, right? And so this was a measure to try to hold them perhaps legally accountable in Chicago, in Cook County. Nothing really happened for 5 months, I think it's fair to say, until Alderman Andre Vasquez said, I'm going to go after you guys in this hearing, immigration committee hearing, and see what the heck is going on. CPD finally today said, we've established a reporting system to kind of look at this that is now live today after this public pressure. The mayor's office also today put out a press release and said, hey, please report incidents if you have been accosted by ICE agents and you need to, if you think there might be a criminal complaint here, please bring it forward. It's really unclear why this took so long, if it was just political posturing, if there was pushback at CPD, I'm sure there was in some form. But finally something is happening, although maybe maybe not. We'll see actually what does happen from here on out.
Yeah, I mean, the question, of course, is there any prosecution after, you know?
And right, and then he has to go from CPD, then they have to recommend charges to the state's attorney, who state's attorney Eileen O'Neill Burke has pushed back parts of this order already. Mm-hmm. It's been a pretty high-profile fight there with her and the mayor. So it's kind of muddled, to say the least.
Yeah, things seem to be a little bit muddled lately. Mm-hmm. That's a running theme. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, speaking of Chicago police news, Larry Snelling, now the city's former superintendent, effective as of Wednesday. You know, there's been some debate kind of as he's leaving about the consent decree aimed at reforming the department. Did, you know, went from 6% to 25% full compliance during his tenure, which people say is more than anyone else did, but also still pretty slow.
Right. I think a lot of activists wanted to see more action in terms of police reform under Larry Snelling. We did see more than his predecessors, and I think Larry Snelling is leaving his tenure as a very popular individual kind of across all the aisles. Homicides, we saw a record low in 2025 for past 60 years, but there still is a lot to be done, you know, going back to this 2017, a consent decree. So basically, I think people wanted more of him, and now they're looking to see, all right, are we going to get more from the next police chief that Brandon Johnson is supposedly going to pick in the next few months? We'll see.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you thought this was unusual, or Quinn, during this week's city council meeting on Wednesday, there was virtually no mention of Larry Snelling. It was his last day on the job. And the only mention at all of Superintendent Snelling retiring was near the end of the meeting when Chris Taliaferro, who's the head of the Police and Fire Committee, got up and said, "Mr. President, I want to acknowledge the departure of Larry Snelling." And then that was it. The superintendent was not in the house for a victory lap. It was, I thought, super low key. He's a pretty low key guy.
Yeah.
And I think the mayor said something about, you know, we may invite him back if he is amenable to something like that. But yeah, it was as if he was kind of tiptoeing out the door.
Especially for a city council that does love its ceremonial moments and resolutions
and
honors.
They like him too. They universally like him, as you pointed out.
Right. Yeah. He had a very good relationship with Alders. All right. Some more council action, pushback against the mayor. His effort to get some leverage over the CHA board. His nominations were blocked. You know, Rima, the mayor's been, he was vocally opposed to the hiring of Keith Pettigrew as CHA CEO, but I found it interesting that, you know, his contract, he can only be removed for cause. Do you think this is maybe a sister agency learning a lesson from the firing of former CPS CEO Pedro Martinez here?
Yeah, I mean, Pedro Martinez's contract famously, maybe only famously to me or anyone who covers CPS, also had a clause that said he can only be fired for cause, and if he is fired without cause, he can still be fired, but he gets to stay 6 months on the job, which for Martinez was at a pretty critical time for CPS when the mayor's office wanted to wield a little bit more power, I think. So, I think maybe that's a lessons learned, or, you know, kind of looking at what's happened in the past, certainly.
Yeah. All right. City council heavy week. Lots going on. Shruti, the Alders approved more than $400 million in TIF funding for some upgrades tied to the new Chicago Fire Stadium. You know, of course, people see a big chunk of public money, you know, getting approved here, but this is kind of what TIF districts are supposed to be for anyway.
Yeah, there's so much debate in Chicago about TIFs, right? I mean, like, I don't know if every other city knows what TIFs are, but we certainly do here, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, tax increment financing districts, I mean, there's a ton of money in that, and there's debate about what taxpayer money should be used for. I mean, a famous other stadium that's under debate right now. There's lots of questions.
What are you talking about?
You know, there's lots of questions about, you know, what taxpayer money should be used for that stadium. And Governor Pritzker has, you know, famously said that we will, invest in public infrastructure. This particular funding seems to be for that purpose. And there's also a lot of questions about TIF, as you mentioned, for the school district, and what kind of surplus is the mayor going to declare. Last year during the budget process, there were certainly council members who said, you know, if you declare a record surplus from the TIFs, that means those dollars are not going to go into the wards and into the developments that are supposed to spur economic development. So this maybe is that type of development.
Yeah. And of course, this is, you know, developing a completely, you know, barren area that the city dearly wants to see something on that site. Well, no development needed with the four of you. You're great just as you are, but we are out of time. So our thanks to Jeff Buchholz, Shruti Singh, Rima Amin, and Quinn Myers. And we're back to wrap things up right after this.
Tonight's presentation of Week in Review is made possible in part by Anne and Rich Carr, BNSF Railway, and Francine and Dr. Anthony Brown. Chicago Tonight is made possible in part by the Alexandra and John Nichols family, the Polk Brothers Foundation. Additional support is provided by
And that's our show for this Friday night. Stay connected with our reporters and what they're working on by following us on Instagram at WTTW Chicago. Now for all of us here at the Week in Review, I'm Nick Blumberg. Thank you for watching. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay informed. Have a great weekend. All right, 7 months out from the mayoral election, but a new poll found fairly low support for Mayor Johnson making another bid, which he still hasn't announced. How big of a grain of salt are you all taking this poll with?
I think it's somewhat legitimate. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think it captures public opinion pretty well from the anecdotes that we've been hearing. But again, there's still so much to be determined, and the election is not set in any way.
Yeah, so exactly. And while the mayor indeed has not said whether or not he intends to seek re-election officially, he's made a lot of noises that make it clear that's where he's leaning at this point.
I think any incumbent is probably, they've been in office, they've been doing something different than probably everyone on that list. Uh-huh. And so it wasn't
closed
super surprising.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a Chicago personal injury and wrongful death firm that contributes to public safety policy and guidelines.